scientists have now proven that our thoughts control our brain, and our brain controls our body. So it just substantiates what God has already been speaking out of Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So this last injury has taught me some new things that I want to share with you. When I first hurt my foot way back 2 years ago, the pain was really intense. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, I said, Lord, would you please take away this pain? And he did. But this one, he didn't. So the pain was constant. And so by Saturday, I was getting like, this is not easy to deal with. And so I asked him, what do you want me to do? And so I felt like he wanted me to write out some verses on strengthening. So I typed out all these verses that have to do with him being my strength and strengthening us. And I want to show you something interesting in Job. Let's go to Job chapter 2. Because the Bible talks a lot about our bones. And so God is speaking to Satan, and he says, have you considered my servant Job? And then he says, verse 3, chapter 2 and verse 3. So he's already come, and God gave him permission, and he destroyed Job's cattle and his camels and his, I mean, all of his livestock, and then he killed his children. And so now he's coming back before God in verse 3. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on all the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. Then Satan answers. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, as all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. So the bones have to do with our health. When our bones are healthy, our body is healthy. Why? Because of the bone marrow. So now let's go to Job 21. And in Job 21, it's describing a person who is really strong and healthy. And so verse 23, one dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and secure. His bowels are full of milk, and the marrow of his bones is moist. Now, he's really healthy. Now, let me read it to you out of the Amplified, because this is what he's showing. Verse 24 in the Amplified, his bowels are full of milk, parentheses, his veins are filled with nourishment, and the marrow of his bones is fresh and moist. Well, I looked up the stuff about the marrow on the internet, and the marrow is that fatty substance in the cavity of our bones. And so that's where the red blood cells, the new ones, emerge and carry the oxygen throughout the whole body. Listen to this. This is phenomenal. This is how God has made us. 2.4 million every second, these little red blood cells, are 2.4 million every second are being formed in our bone marrow. And then they circulate between 100 and 120 days. So, if our thoughts are aligned with the truth of the Word, then the Word will be penetrating down into the bone marrow. Let's read that in the Amplified. So we go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, which you know really well. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of our soul and our spirit, and is the discerner of our thoughts and our intentions. Now listen to it in the Amplified. This is so incredible. So here it is, the Word of God. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, our soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow. And of the marrow, it says, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So the word that we speak, of God's word that we speak, that's going down. It's penetrating down into our bone marrow. It is impregnating every one of those little red blood cells with the truth and oxygen being carried to every cell and tissue in our body. Isn't that just astounding? So, since our thoughts control our brain, then our thoughts, when they're lined up with the Word, will bring the life of the Word into our bone marrow. So now let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now remember, in Hebrews 13:7, it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now we'll read verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not changed, nothing's changed. He's the same. He's still the same Word today, tomorrow, and forever. Now to go to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus is the Word that became flesh. When we are speaking the Word of the Lord over our circumstances, that Word becomes flesh. It goes into us and penetrates our marrow. It becomes part of who we are. It becomes part of our health. So the Word became flesh. It became alive and dwelt among us. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. These are not new verses, but I have a new application in my life through them. And so here they are. Here's the Lord Jesus. He's alive. He's with them. They're watching them. They eat with them. They travel on the road together. And they're beholding Him at all times. They can see Him. All right. Now, we see Him through the Word. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Remember John 1:14? They beheld the glory of the Father. Okay. So we are beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that word transformed is when we're looking at the Lord through His Word, that we're being transformed on the inner part of who we are. So this is what happened on Sunday. I'm going to give you an illustrated example of what this is. Sunday I went into really deep brain fatigue. I was getting ready for a meeting. I had already changed my clothes. I'd washed my hair. And I just went into this really deep brain fatigue. And I thought, all right, my thoughts control my brain. So I lay down. I got all really warm and comfortable. And I started thinking about the Lord as my strength. So I was going over verses about Him being my strength and what it means that He's our strength. And He says, you know, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And oh, yeah, I mean, I'm so weak, I can hardly function. And it's like, yeah, so I'm getting this word into me. You know what? It took away the brain fatigue. just by thinking about him as being my strength. Well, I told it to my doctor on Wednesday, she, her eyes got as big as saucers. You know what? There was nothing that could help me. There wasn't anything, but the word did. The word about his strength literally pulled me out of it. So when we give attention to his words, when we bring them into our inner being, they will transform us. So he had me write out those verses, and so I would meditatively read them. So I'm not just like reading them to be reading the words, but I'm reading them and thinking about them. Like, let me do it with this verse. In Isaiah 58:11, let's go to that so we can read it. 58. Yes, Isaiah 58:11. Okay, Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." So as you're reading this, meditatively reading, you're thinking about what it means as you're reading. And one of the times when I was doing that, I just realized, you know what? This verse describes the walk in the Spirit, where we're being guided by Him. He's satisfying our soul in drought. He's strengthening our bones. He causes us to be like this wellspring of water just coming up out of us like an artesian. Well, that's the proof of walking in the Spirit. He's literally guiding us. Well, so as I began to meditatively read these verses on strength, they were just literally upholding me. And then that was the Wednesday that I got hurt, which was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So I couldn't go. I'd just gone to my doctor that morning, but I couldn't go during Thanksgiving, so I went to Dr. Weber. But then when I went back to my doctor, and so she explained, you see that little wall space right there? That's what I hit my foot into, but I did it. She said it was so sudden that it caused my brain, the part that's injured, to lose the center. So when I lost my center, I just crashed to the floor and then landed on my foot, which was already injured. So when she said that I lost my center, I'm driving, coming back from there, and I'm thinking, center, I've got to get verses that will help me to the center on the Lord. So that was Wednesday after I got back. I typed out all these verses on the centering, and so then I started meditatively reading on the centering. I left the strengthening verses alone. I just was working on the centering. And so Saturday morning, I woke up with the most horrible nerve pain in my foot, and I thought, I got to get back to my verses. So I went back to my strengthening verses and then took the pain out of my foot. And I'm thinking, this word is alive. It is really working in my bone marrow. So then I thought, well, what else do I need? Well, I need this. And so I typed those out. But now my list is getting too long. So I have to shorten them so I wasn't so spread out. So I have three things that I'm doing in my working paper. And that's what it is. It's a working paper. What it's doing is helping us to overcome whatever it is that we need to overcome. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Do any of you ever worry?
No. Well, I dropped it.
So if you're a worry wart, then think of what your thoughts about worry are doing to your bone marrow and your new little red blood cells that are emerging. They're getting warped. They're getting diseased. They're getting messed up. They're not full of truth and life. They're full of death words and death thoughts. So let's look at the word worry. It says in verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? So here's this word, worry. And in the Strong's exhaustive, it means to divide into parts. So this is what happens when we worry. It divides our mind. So it says the word suggests a distraction, a preoccupation with things causing anxiety, stress, and pressure. So if we're worrying, if we're thinking about something, we're worried over it, it's going to physically affect us because our thoughts control our brain and our brain controls our body. So as we're worrying, anxiety and stress and pressure is getting stronger. And he's saying, do not worry. Why? Because he's able to take care of us. He's able to meet our needs. He's able to do whatever is needed. So if we were chronic worriers, we would make a work paper out of verses like casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Matthew 11:29, come unto me all you who labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. And verses like Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. So as you're meditatively reading these verses, they're overriding the effects of the worry. So they're literally transforming what your thoughts are, but they're transforming your body and they're transforming your health. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So then you take something like fear. The second that we feel fear, what happens in our body if we're dialoguing with it? Our heart starts to race, we sweat, our breathing gets shallow and fast because that's the way the Lord has made us. So if we run into something, like when we lived in Carson City, I went out to do something one night just before we went to bed, and there was a bobcat sitting right there on the porch. Well, what do you think happened? You know, heart started racing and I'm backing up and keeping my eyes on him. And, you know, that's the fight or the flight. But if we have constant stress in our life, it's constantly keeping our heart in turmoil and it's constantly causing our adrenaline to surge into our body. Years ago, when I was in Portland, I went to this new doctor, this is after I fell in the ravine, and when he left his room to go get something, the door closed, and on the door was a progression of adrenal failure. And so it starts out, you know, this way, this way, this way, and then when you have adrenal failure, you're dead. I mean, it just, it doesn't function anymore. And we can do that. We can literally drain our adrenals by our thoughts. It physically affects them. If you ever have a backache on your kidneys, just above your kidneys, that's the adrenals. They're in the stage of exhaustion. So see, the word literally can transform our health. And the word transform is like, you know, well, let's go to Romans 12 and verse 2, which, you know, see, we're not looking at new verses, we're looking at old verses, but understanding that our thoughts literally are changing our inner body, our organs, our everything itself. So verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this morning, I wrote down the definition to preoccupy. Preoccupy of a matter or subject dominates or engrosses the mind of someone to the exclusion of other thoughts. Have you ever tried to, something comes up and you try to get your mind off of it, but your mind keeps going back like this magnet, you know, and you're trying not to worry, but it just keeps going back. So this is what happens. The word is engross, concern, absorb, take up someone's attention, distract, obsess, occupy, prey on someone's mind. So see, that's what happens when we're not allowing the word. If we were preoccupied with the word, see, then we'd be really, really focused on it. We would keep our attention on the word and the things that the Lord's helping us to do. But when we take our attention and we preoccupy it with something other than that, then we're transforming our health into disease rather than transforming our health into strength and health. And so the word transform is the whole metamorphosis. See, when the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and he melts, he's gone. That's no more a caterpillar. But out of that liquid, God forms the butterfly. And so this butterfly is new life. It doesn't crawl on a leaf. It flies. It's free. And so the same way with us. We literally destroy our health by negative thoughts. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. And let's see how this works. Proverbs 3 and verse 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So the Amplified says this. Do not be wise in your eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. It'll be health to your nerves and sinews, tendons and ligaments, and marrow and moistening to your bones. So, being wise in our own eyes is pride. We think that we know what it should be. But to reverently fear and worship the Lord is humility. So humility really comes into play with our health. I never thought about that before. But you know, when we're humble, then we've got grace. When we have grace, we have His strength. So it has nothing to do with us. This meditative reading is reprogramming our thoughts to line up with the truth of the Word. So that the Word is literally affecting the way that we think, the way that we act, the way that we process the things. And so the way God has made us is that the head, our brain, would be what affects our joints. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now this is talking about the Lord Jesus being our head. It says, and we the body of Christ. It says, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. So the head of our bodies, our physical bodies, is our brain. So our thoughts control our brain, and our brain controls our body. So the brain is the one who controls how the rest of us on the inside is nourished and knit together by the joints and the ligaments and then grows. And so we can take it from the physical and we can take it from the spiritual. We grow spiritually as the Word is being seeded into our hearts. So the Lord is to be our center. Now let's go to Psalm 18. There's a song that is called Jesus Be the Center. And it's talking about being the center of my life, you know, being the wind in my sails, be the fire in my heart. And so as we come to this verse, it literally centers us on the Lord. I mean, as we're reading these two verses, our mind is literally being drawn into and centered on the Lord. David says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now, David wrote this. Let's look at something else he wrote. Psalm 31. David was in some struggle. Remember the bones. He's in some struggle. And he says in verse 9, he says, now remember, Satan said to God, if you touch his bones, then he'll curse you. So the bones were very integral of our health. And David goes, 9, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. My life is spent with grief. My years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Now, Psalm 32, verse 3. Also, David, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the draught of summer. Remember back in Isaiah 58:11, you satisfy my soul in drought. So David's talking about bones. Now we'll go to Psalm 51. This is after he sinned with Bathsheba. And he says in verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Now, let's go to Lamentations. Jeremiah is having a real bad day. And he says, he's talking about all this that's taking place. We'll go to verse 13 of chapter 3. Lamentations 3:13. It says, he has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. And my Bible talks about the kidneys, and the kidneys are the very seat of our emotions. So his emotions are being really torn apart. And he goes on and he talks about, in verse 16, he's broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. Verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. And now verse 20, my soul still remembers and thinks within me. So he's got all these thoughts. They're just going through his mind. They're negative thoughts, and they're causing him to lose his strength, and he's causing him to just sink in despair. But then verse 21 is a turnaround. This I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope. And so he changes. He literally transforms from the negative to the affirmative. And he just goes straight on. And he says, verse 22, this is my hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. See how he just literally flipped? Okay, go back to Psalm 77. So, this is a psalm of Asaph, verse 1. I cried out to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul, mind, will, and emotions refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Then he says, you hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled, I cannot speak. Verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Now he's thinking about all this, and he goes, verse 7, will the Lord cast not forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? He has a change of his thoughts. Verse 10. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate also on your work and talk of your deeds. So he flips. He goes from negative and just in despair to hope by remembering who the Lord really is. And so he literally changes his mindset, which will also change our health. So, Lord, I just ask that you would show us in our own lives the areas where we need to shore up with your word, the things that we have allowed through our negative thoughts to begin the destruction of our health. Lord, you called us to be vital, to serve you with vitality. And I think of Moses when he was 120 years old, and it says his eye wasn't dim and his strength was not abated. Lord, you are the controller of all things. You do not control our thoughts. You allow us to control our thoughts, and you give us help all through your words, saying, this is how you do it. Keep your eyes on me and capture all these thoughts. And Lord, when we're disobedient to that, then we're the ones who bring our own destruction. Lord, you have so created us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I can't even imagine how that you can create these red blood cells just so many million per second. It's just all you, Lord. But when we meditate on your word, you empower your word. You make your word alive, and it goes and it penetrates to the very marrow of our being. And Lord, you are greater than any doctor. The doctor can put a scalpel into some place in the body and cut out bad parts. But Lord, you, through your word, will transform them. So Lord, we just commit our lives to you afresh and give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.